that's something which fascinates me as a Westerner, to see just what connections we have with other religions. I think that maybe came when a long time ago, when I was looking at philosophy, Western philosophy, now you read such statements, I think it was from even Pythagoras, who didn't just do his trigonometry theorem, but was actually a philosopher. And I think it was him, it was one of the other great Indian philosophers, said, we get all our philosophy from the Indians. And when you have these statements which are just cast off without any explanation, they become quite fascinating. What does he mean? He got all of his philosophy from the Indians. Because as a Westerner, I was taught that our tradition, our philosophical basis, all came from Greece, as if they invented it from nowhere. But did it have a root? And so over the years, you gather interesting pieces of information, you know, from scholarly research. And research number one, which most people should know, that the Emperor Asoka, in India, which was, what was that, about 2nd, 3rd century AD? 2nd, 3rd century BC. He wrote all of these, or had carved these stone pillars. And those stone pillars are still there in India today, or they're in the museums, if they're not in their original place. And there we have a historical record. You know, it's not myth of what was happening in India at that time. And he did carve in those stone pillars that he did send monks over to Egypt, to the Ptolemies, the Ptolemies. So we know that he actually did send monks over there. So what's the evidence in the other end? The evidence in the other end, at that same time, the Ptolemy in question was a guy called Philadelphus Ptolemy, 200 years before Christ. And he was one of the Ptolemies, very successful ruler, who also built a port on the Red Sea to take the trade from India, a new port, because there was a very well-established trade route from the port city of Soparaka, just not so far from present-day Mumbai, which went across the Persian Gulf. One of the ports it's stopped in was the old port of Aden. I forget what the old name of that town was. I think it was something about, I think it was Philithiatos or something, the Greeks called it, like the lucky place. And that was a big trading spot, a place where the ships would stop and maybe sell some things, buy some more, and then carry on the journey up the Red Sea to this port which Philadelphus Ptolemy built, and then from there, by camels, overland, to Alexandria, which was the capital. And there are historical records that in that port of, now we call Aden, there were many Indians who were there, a big Indian community. And more importantly, in this port in southern Egypt, there are gravestones from that particular time. Of Indians who were the representatives of trade in that area. And I say there are headstones there because on the headstones are carved Dhammachaka wheels, the wheels of symbol of Buddhism, and also gone to the three refuges. Now these are Indians, these are Buddhists who were there in India, obviously in some numbers at the time of Philadelphus Ptolemy. And he also recorded in the history of that time, because the Greeks, the Egyptians, they actually recorded things. The Indians didn't record much at all. But recorded that whenever there was a big ceremony or celebration, that the Indian community would come out in numbers and they would dance in the procession. And they mentioned the beautiful Indian dancers. So Indians were very much part of the community in Egypt. And Asoka sent over his monks there as well. Now, as those monks, there's not much said between those 200 years and about, was it 4 AD, when Philo of Alexandria, a local boy, started writing about the life and times in that great city, the capital of Egypt. And he mentioned in that city there was a great monastery on one of the shores of one of the lakes. And that monastery had these monks and nuns called the Theraputai. And this is where we get the English word therapeutic from, and therapy, from these amazing monks and nuns who were there in Alexandria 2,006 years ago. And he described these monks, and there are many translations of Philo of Alexandria's works. But as you all know, when you do have a translation, the translator adds a lot into what they're translating. So when I got interested in this, I did ask a monk who was with me in Thailand, who was fluent in ancient Greek, and was about to visit his family in Bern. And he had time, and I asked him, if he got a free afternoon, can you just check this out for me? And he did. He went to the library and got a copy of the original Greek. And he wrote back to me a letter. And I remember his words. He said, when you asked me to do this, I thought this was just another stupid errand. But now I've looked at the original. This is, in his words, a dead ringer for Buddhist monks. They were vegetarian, they had bald hair, they wear brown robes, and they did this service every moon day, on the 4 days of the moon. And he said that this was Buddhist monks. And many other people have understood that they were Buddhist monks too. But the reason was that in that particular time, 4 AD, this was before Christianity, in the Jewish tradition or other traditions, there was no tradition of monasticism. That just was not there. Even today, rabbis tell me that if a rabbi is not married, they are not regarded as respectable, and their teachings are not listened to. The idea of celibate monks and nuns, especially bald-headed, was actually pre-European culture. So the evidence is quite strong that theirs were a group of monks, and Theraputai, many people have noticed that that particular word can be traced, Thera, P's, B's and V's become interchangeable when the language moves from east to west. For example, the town of Varanasi is now Benares, the V has changed to B. And so the P's and V's and also the T's and D's get changed. And many people said that there is a very strong argument that that was Theraputai, was Theravada. It could also be the Theraputta, which is Pali, the Sanskrit Putra, Pali Putra, for the sons of the elders. So whatever, there is a strong suggestion there that that was even linguistically, etymologically rather, Buddhist monks at that particular time. And they were highly respected. Now, of course, for those of you who have knowledge of Christianity, which is most of us Westerners, we went to school and we were taught the Bible. We were taught all the stories. And one of those stories was that when the boy called Jesus was there,